Good morning and welcome to the Hidden Profits Teleseminar series. The purpose of this series is to explore ideas on how to make your business more profitable by becoming more efficient and reducing costs. In modern business, we tend to focus first on revenue growth and second on financial engineering, and we often completely overlook cost structure, except when looking at direct cost of manufacturing or delivering your product or service, or like now, during a downturn, everybody's in a panic. When we do focus on cost, it's usually temporary budget slashing. I call this the corporate crash diet. Just like people who want to lose weight in a hurry and drastically reduce eating, corporations want to lose cost fast and drastically reduce spending everywhere. However, as in the diet, it can't be sustained and we gain all the weight back. So in corporate cost slashing, it can't be sustained and we gain all and more of the cost back. We rarely change our lifestyles, the same as we rarely change corporate lifestyles. In dieting, we all have learned that the way to be successful is to incrementally change our lifestyles. This teleseminar is about looking at ways to make incremental changes in corporate lifestyle, taking advantage of technology, services from our suppliers and service partners, and best practice business processes. We as humans don't really like change, especially major transformational change. However, when it happens incrementally and we build an environment of rewarding small change, it does not trigger these anti-change alarms in our psyches. My name is Linda Roth, and I am president and founder of LJR Consulting Services, and so I welcome everyone today. Our subject is maximizing your ERP system. But before we get started, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my background. I grew up in an age and graduated from high school when big, large computers were just starting to become popular. And big, large companies had to buy those big, large computers that had big, large price tags on them. I grew up in an entrepreneurial home. My father owned an HVAC company, and I worked there all during high school. My dad really wanted me to become an accountant, but I felt that would take too long. I was in a hurry to get moving with my career and get out, and all I could think about was I needed to make enough money to get an apartment and a new car. Those were my goals. So at a time when large companies were starting to purchase large computers and automate transactions, there started a burgeoning new industry around taking care of those computers that were being put into companies and making them work. So this created a need for people that were trained to write programs, run the computers, and everything around them. My high school counselor suggested that I enroll in a new curriculum at a junior college that would only take me 2 years to become a computer programmer, and he said I could make lots of money in this new industry in a very short period of time. So that's what I did, and it began a very exciting career. I was fortunate enough to secure a job when I graduated with a company that, first of all, had state-of-the-art technology, and second of all, had a tuition reimbursement program. So with that tuition reimbursement program, I decided to go back to school and obtain my degree in accounting. But by the time I finished that degree, as my counselor had predicted, I was earning a good income, and I really, really enjoyed the benefits that came from being in the technology environment. One of the things that happens in technology is you learn everything there is to learn about almost every business that you're in because you touch every part of it, unlike accounting where you're just looking at the finance side. So over the next 30 years, I've worked in many companies to help them use the technology tools that have now become ubiquitous. I also built my own software and consulting firm in the mid-80s and went through all the issues that business owners and executives face today. I've seen a variety of companies that I've worked in during my career, And in all of those companies, one key thread usually emerges, and that is that there's no real plan on how to use technology advances to improve the business and no real foundation on which to build. As a result, the technology becomes a collection of tools that are used individually, often without much value or return on investment to the business. Also, we have many technology options available today that we didn't have even as recently as 5 years ago, much less 10 or 15 years ago. And they, most of them are overwhelming. It's almost impossible for people within an organization to stay abreast of everything that's available in technology today that can help their businesses. So today we're going to discuss how many companies do not use their ERP, MRP systems in ways in which they can get the fullest potential for what they have invested. This is an area where companies today can find big benefits and lots of times pretty much big cost reduction without a lot of incremental investment. So first, let's define what an ERP and MRP system are. ERP, this is the most common because every company has one. ERP stands for Enterprise Resource Planning. One definition on the internet from What is that it's an industry term for the broad set of activities that helps a business manage the important parts of its business. This is kind of obtuse gobbledygook. The PC Magazine definition is a little bit more to the point. It says that an ERP is an integrated information system that serves all departments within an enterprise. Evolving out of the manufacturing industry, ERP implies the use of packaged software rather than proprietary software. ERP modules may be able to interface with an organization's own software with varying degrees of effort, and depending on the software, ERP modules may be alterable via the vendor's proprietary tools as well as proprietary or standard programming languages. That's actually a very good definition, but it's also kind of a fancy way to say that it's all the software that a company would use to manage order processing, receivables, purchasing, AP, inventory, finance, sales, manufacturing process. And examples of ERP systems vary from QuickBooks at the low end all the way up to the what we call Tier 1 Oracle and SAP enterprise systems. The key component in these definitions is the one from PC Magazine, that first of all, it's an integrated information system. So integration means that everything fits together, and that's a key component of what we call ERP systems as a compared to the older software products that were written when software first started to become something that you purchased. They're integrated. It's an information system. So the purpose of it is to hold and process information about a company that serves all departments. We're going to talk about that. It's key. All departments within the enterprise. And, of course, the ERP term evolves from the manufacturing industry because the manufacturing side of this is MRP, which stands for Materials Requirements Planning. The PC Magazine definition for MRP is that it's an information system that determines what assemblies must be built and what materials must be procured in order to build a unit of equipment by a certain date. It queries the bill of materials and inventory databases to derive the necessary elements. The Wicca Dictionary definition is Material Requirements Planning, a type of application software system used to schedule and monitor the use of components and other materials in a manufacturing operation. I like that definition better because it's much more broad for all types of manufacturing. The PC Magazine definition was specific to what we call discrete manufacturers, and that is companies that make widgets, that make things that are sold. But today you have lots of different types of manufacturing, process manufacturing, where you're making, you still make something that's sold, but you're making liquids that are then bottled and packaged. Food industry is another type of manufacturing that's different from discrete manufacturing. So I like the Wicked Dictionary one better in that, again, the key components are it's an application software system. They didn't use the word integrated, but it is integrated, and it's integrated with your ERP system, used to schedule and monitor the use of components and other materials in a manufacturing operation. So those are the two big key components of systems that run businesses. And also coming on up in importance is what we call CRM, or customer relationship management. I prefer to think of CRM as part of an ERP system, but frequently they are separate. But the key is that in the late 80s and 90s, software companies realized that the best way for a business to operate efficiently was for all the independent functions within a business to be integrated into one software system. Because see, when computers first started becoming popular and the goal was just to automate transactions, what ended up happening is companies and then later software companies wrote software programs, or what we called modules, for just that specific process. So you would have an accounts payable module. You would have an accounts receivable module. You would have an inventory module. You would have a general ledger module. You might have a sales order management module. But all of them were independent. Frequently, companies bought them from different software vendors, and they didn't talk to each other. So while they might automate some transactions, they really didn't improve the business very much. So a big leap forward came when you had an ERP / MRP system that was completely integrated. And that enabled the software to start taking on a larger role of what would be done other than just automate the processing of the transaction. The more that a business relies on its MRP and ERP system, the more efficient it can become. But these systems are also very complicated. And because of this complication and the requirement to change the processes within the organization, many businesses today invest large sums of money in these systems and never really receive a return. So now let's talk about how we can improve the odds of getting a good return and actually having a good impact on a business with an ERP / MRP system. So first of all, the most important part of maximizing your ERP or MRP system is purchasing the right one in the first place. Many, many times I go into a business and they're either struggling with their system, they feel it doesn't perform for them, they feel they're not getting the benefit, and in many cases, they really haven't purchased the best one they could have for their business. And so what happens is by not purchasing the right one, it limits your ability to use it to the maximum benefit for your organization. So just like if you were to go out as an individual and plan to make a major purchase, like an automobile purchase or a home purchase, you want to get the home or the car that best fits the needs of your family. If you're a single person, you have different needs than if you are a family of four or five. If you're a young family, you might have different needs. A young family being a family with young children, you might have different needs than a family with older teenage children. And of course, if you are an empty nester couple, you probably have even more different needs than when you were single or a family. So because you have those different needs, there's lots of different homes and cars that are available for you to purchase. And the same is true with MRP and ERP systems. And buying the correct one is going to determine how satisfied you are with it in the end. So the first thing that is required is to have an ERP selection project. And this should be a project in and of itself. And I recommend that companies use a good qualified consultant to help them through this process. Similar to a realtor, lots of times when people go out to buy a home, they're going to use a realtor to help them evaluate and select the best home that meets their requirements. I think a good consultant, first of all, will help you identify what your requirements are and also help you find the best system and work in your best interest during the evaluation phase. Because of the complication, these systems are complicated to evaluate and make a good selection. So items to be considered when you are evaluating ERP systems. First of all, and most important, is your individual key and unique requirements for your business. And so this is the same as when you're buying a car or you're buying a house, you sit down with your spouse and maybe your family and you go through and say, okay, what is important to us in this home? How many bedrooms do we need? Do we need bedrooms that have their own bathrooms, or what do we want to look for in a configuration of bedrooms and bathrooms? What do we want in terms of living areas, family room, living room, dining room, playroom, basement? And I know the people in California, they don't know what basements are lots of times, but in the Midwest and the East, majority of homes have basements. What do we need in terms of storage in the home? What kind of neighborhood do we want it to be in? How close do we want it to be to freeways? What type of school system? What about faith-based organizations within the community? How close is the synagogue? How close are the churches? That type of thing. You're going to go through that evaluation. You need to do the same thing when you get ready to think that you need a new ERP system and going to do an evaluation. You need to prepare a detailed requirement analysis that goes through and includes not only core functionality, and by core functionality I mean all the basics. We have to be able to process AP invoices. We need to be able to input AR invoices. We need to have a general ledger. We need to have an inventory management system and all the different things that you want it to do. You know, we need to have multiple vendors for items on our inventory management. We need to have a certain length for a key for each one of them. That all the core requirements, and all of the good ERP systems are going to meet all the core requirements. So the real key then is the unique things about your company or that might be considered add-ons. Do you want customer relationship management? Is that important? What about internet integration? How do you go about doing your orders? Are you a company that has multiple locations? Do you sell products that you sell through distributors? Do you have your own retail locations? Are you a retailer? Do you need point of sale? Are you a manufacturing company, so you need MRP? What type of manufacturing? Process manufacturing, discrete manufacturing? Do you do assembly, light assembly, so you don't really need manufacturing, but you need to be able to assemble different components? Do you need to be able to have where the customer determines what the product is going to be, like the way you do, way you order computers today, or bicycles, or all of that type of thing, where you select what type of components you want on, and then the unit is manufactured discreetly for you. Are you a big job process manufacturer where you get large orders from your customers that are unique, and you make it when the orders come in, or do you make the inventory, make the stock? So are you a service company where you deliver product or service out to the field, and how does that work? Are you a construction company? So all of those things need to be laid out in detail in your requirements document, and you need to prioritize them as to what is really important. And you need to do this before you begin your search for software and definitely before you have any presentations from software vendors. Because what you want to be able to do is now use those requirements and which ones are the most important to start a search to find the ERP vendors that you want to evaluate and narrow down the systems that you're going to look at. And then secondarily, when you are going through the evaluation and vendors come in to do demos, you want them to be paying attention to what are your key requirements, and especially the ones that are the highest priority, so that you have all of the vendors performing an apples-to-apple demonstration so that you can evaluate what are your core requirements and evaluate the system against those core requirements. So that is the absolute most important part of maximizing your ERP MRP system, and that is find the correct one that meets your requirements, and that means knowing exactly what your detailed requirements are before you get started. Other things that go into the evaluation is the technology architecture. Is it client-server? Is it browser-based? Is it hosted? Is it web-based software as a service? Is the architecture open or closed? Is it does it integrate easily with other products? All these different architectures have their place. They have benefits and they have non-benefits. And so you need to do an evaluation as to what is the way you might operate. I recently had a company I worked with that was an aerospace subcontractor. And the types of systems that they made were secret. And so, first of all, they could only manufacture in the United States. And secondarily, they could not have any of the information about what they were manufacturing located in non-secure areas. So they decided that they could not use hosted or software as a service, that they needed to have the software located on their own computers in their own secure environment, so that information was secure. They also knew that they had to limit some of the web-based functionality that might be used by other companies because of their security requirements. And, of course, the security within the system was up there as a key component, as a key requirement that needed to be evaluated. So you need to take all that into account in terms of looking at the technology architecture. Software as a service is good for companies that don't want to have to maintain their own data center. And then you have web-based applications that you just log on and use as a service. It's also good for companies that have a lot of different locations with small numbers of people at each of the different locations, and they don't want to have to build a big data center and have all the connectivity they're going to need to their servers. So web-based applications can be good for that. Second area in the technology area that you need to be aware of when you're evaluating ERP MRP systems is the database. What database is it? Is it a primary database like a Microsoft SQL or an Oracle? Is it proprietary or one of the second tier databases? What operating system is required for the ERP and the database to operate in? Is it compatible with what you already have? And most importantly, is it compatible with the knowledge of the people that you have working for you? So are you going to need to retrain your technical staff if you go to a system that's running in a different technology environment than what you're already accustomed to? What security is available on the database? A lot of companies look just at the security of the system and forget about the security of the database. And some databases, especially some of the older ones, and things like Access and FileMaker Pro, which I'm going to argue are not databases, they don't have good security on them. So you can have all the security on what we call the front door, which is the application that you use to get into the data. But if there's no security on the data, people can just go behind the scenes in what we call the back door to get to the data. And so then you don't have the security you thought you did. Next to evaluate or to be considered as part of your evaluation is the user interface and the integration with common Office tools such as Microsoft Office Outlook, document imaging, banking services, the internet, internet integration, all those types of things are critically important. Handheld devices, depending on what your business is and how you might use those things, you need to take that into account and be part of your requirements document. Also, what are the unique things about your industry and looking for industry-specific applications? As much as possible, you want to try and pick systems that are created for your industry. So examples of a mismatch might be a company that is a process manufacturer that buys a system that was designed for a discrete manufacturer, and then they have to do some sort of workaround. Or a manufacturing company that buys an ERP system that doesn't have a that doesn't have an MRP component to it, and then they have to figure out how they're going to do the MRP or buy another MRP system. So that also brings me to another area of consideration when you're buying systems is the system truly integrated from the standpoint of it was designed and written by the vendor so that everything is in one database structure, or do you have components that were pieced together like puzzle pieces that came from other vendors? You find lots of vendors that have grown by acquisition. They have taken the parts of the system that they bought through the acquisition and they've just bolted it on. And so it isn't any different than if you went out and bought systems from a variety of different vendors and you bolted it together. So the key, the best way to buy a system is one that is written from the ground up, completely integrated with all the components that you're going to buy. Other things are about the vendor themselves, vendor proximity to you, support that they offer, vendor rating in terms of how good the vendor is, how long they've been in business, and that's a double-edged sword. Sometimes vendors that have been in business a very long time and their ERP systems have been around since the late 80s or early 90s, they haven't upgraded them for new design and new architecture. And so you'll find they may put, quote, a new coat of paint on them in that they have kind of a cute new user interface, or they add dashboards to something, but the architects underneath is older technology, which is going to limit you. But the flip side, you don't want to be the first customer for a new software company that is, you know, had venture capital and they've just developed their system. You want to be somewhere in between. I would say never, ever, ever pick an ERP system strictly on cost or name recognition. This is not a popularity contest. I see company after company that says, well, we bought the best. We bought a Tier 1 application, but that Tier 1 application didn't really fit their business needs. And there was probably another system that might not have been from as well a known vendor, but just as good and had more functionality that they needed. So that leads me into the next thing on how to get the best out of your MRP ERP system. And that is to use the system as it was designed and severely limit any customization. When ERP systems first came out and all they did was the generic stuff, everybody had to customize. And so customization became just a function of what you did when you bought an ERP system, was you looked at what we call gaps, what you needed and the system didn't offer, and you modified it. And some systems out there sort of sold themselves and considered a major benefit if you got source code and they could be easily modified. So while I don't agree with usually the very strict never do anything to it, just drive it around vanilla, you want to watch as to what type of customization you do, and you never want to customize core functionality. And if possible, you don't want to have to add big add-on modules to the front or to the back. You know, the things you want to do are very limited, where you have unique data fields that need to be carried that aren't on the database, and you can use vendor-provided functionality where they have additional fields that are just called user-defined fields or extra fields or something like that, and then you just pick one of those fields and you give it a name. And you can usually give it rules on how it's used, and you can put it on reports and screens and stuff like that. That type of customization is fine, and you're going to always expect that because no system is going to fit you 100%. Adding new reports, doing new queries, that kind of thing is something you're going to do. I use the analogy or liken that to when you buy a new car or you buy a new home, you add some personalization to it, right? You buy a new home, you're going to come in and you're going to put your drapes in it. You're going to maybe put in new flooring. But rarely now you do when you do older homes and stuff like that, but I'm talking about just basic. You don't come in and rip everything out and change the whole floor plan within the home, right? You've bought a home supposedly because it fits your needs, and you're going to use it the way the home was designed. Same way with the automobile. You buy a car, you don't normally rip out the engine, rip out the drivetrain, rip out all of its guts and rebuild it. But you do add, you know, wheels that you like, maybe some custom stuff under your paint job, maybe some seat covers or fancy steering wheel covers or things like that. So that's the same kind of thing you would do with your ERP and MRP system. There are so many systems available today that it's rare that you can't find a system that's going to support your industry and the key unique requirements that you have. Today's systems are also built so that they support best business and accounting practices and SOX requirements along with HIPAA requirements if you're in the medical field. So using the system as it's designed is key to maintaining all that integrity and also key to being able to upgrade. And not upgrading your ERP system when the vendor comes out with new functionality is one of the key reasons that companies aren't maximizing the functionality that their ERP systems have, number one. And number two, it's also the key reason for ending up reinvesting and buying a new one. So upgrading and not maintaining it, it'd be the same as if, again, you bought your car or house and you never did anything to it, and after a certain number of years, you know, if you didn't do any maintenance, the whole thing's broken down and you can't use it anymore and you have to throw it away and get a new one. There's a lot of people that have to buy ERP systems or rebuy the one they already have because they haven't continued with their maintenance and they haven't upgraded. And so then they have to do practically a whole new implementation. So if you buy right, buy a good system, and keep it maintained, you can get a lot of life out of it. Now, that doesn't mean that in 20 years you might not need to buy a new one. Because a company I just worked with, they were on a 24-year-old system that was no longer supported by the software company. Software company was long out of business. And the hardware manufacturer had just continued all the hardware that it ran on. So now they had never kept it updated, but even if they had, updates would have ceased a long time ago. So that's one thing you want to keep track of. You want to keep up with your system and keep it upgraded as the software vendor offers new releases and new functionality. But if you see that your software vendor is not being able to keep up because the system is out of favor because they haven't kept up with good added functionality and kept up with what's going on in technology, or they've been purchased. You know, the other thing that's happened is in the software industry, you've had lots of consolidation. So you have lots of software firms that have been purchased by other companies, and then the companies that bought them, they're just what we call mining the support, and they're not going to do anything to maintain the system. When you start seeing that happen into your ERP / MRP system, then it's time to start evaluating and finding a new one that you can go forward with. But as long as your software vendor is maintaining their system, keeping up with technology, continuing to come out with new releases, you want to be able to use those new releases because there's always new functionality in there, use of new technology that's coming out that's going to enable you to improve your business process. So it's key to keep up with it and in order to keep up with it, you've got to keep your system as vanilla as you possibly can. The next area is redesign your business processes to take advantage of all the capabilities that the ERP system has to offer. So a key one today, most ERP systems today have come out with what we call automated workflow. And what that automated workflow is designed to do is eliminate a lot of the paper shuffling that goes on between departments, a lot of the mailing of paperwork back and forth. And I'll give you a couple of examples. One is approvals for things like purchase orders or purchase requisitions, right? We talked about this in our seminar last week. Lots of companies have paper purchase orders, purchase requisitions, where they have to send all that paper around for people to approve it. Even paper invoices have to be sent around for people to stamp them and approve them. Workflow automation allows you to eliminate all that paper shuffling, all that lost paper. So it reduces the amount of time that's required to get all these approvals done because you're getting electronic routing. It uses common interfaces like your Outlook email for you to get notification that you have things that you have to approve or review. So it just makes life very simple, along with common interfaces like Outlook. If you have your email on your smartphone, or some other handheld device, then you can use that to go through and do your approval. So it makes all the approving process a lot faster. Using online information such as dashboards and queries. In the old days, you know, we ran lots of reports and circulated those reports on paper, or now people run reports, get them on electronic, and then circulate them via email. And in today's MRP ERP systems, they are designed so that you can just go into the system itself and bring up particular key information that you can have on dashboards and on queries. And so you want to make good use of that. You want to collect data in the system at the source. So the source means people that don't normally use computers usually. It means the shop floor, the workers right out on the floor in the manufacturing process. It means workers in the warehouse putting into the inventory system what they've received, reducing inventory. So instead of having a form that somebody in the warehouse fills out and sends to somebody in an office to now enter into the system, which creates duplicate work and makes the system, A, not up to date, and B, not the core thing that's running your business, you want people out on the floor, out in the warehouse, out on the manufacturing floor, out at the construction site, out at the service site, if you go to your customer for service, or if you have different service sites. I worked with a company last year that was a parking management facility. They did all their invoicing out in the at the service location, and then they had to send those invoices either via paper mail or via email into the accounting department for the accounting department to put it into the AR system. Enter data or capture data at the source, even if it's an area where people do not traditionally use computers. Today, almost everybody is computer literate, and computers are so ubiquitous that they can be taught how to use them. And there are handheld devices, that smartphones and everything that people are using every day. So there's really not a reason why people out on in all of your locations can't use a computer. And also connectivity with wireless and cellular technology and everything, even the remotest locations can have some sort of electronic access where you can capture data. Integration with other systems and devices. So document imaging, I think, is key to get good use out of your ERP system, and document imaging with what we call OCR for the system to scan the paper that's come in and pull data fields off of that and put it into your ERP system. It dramatically limits keying and dramatically limits the paper shuffling and the need for all this paper to move around, which slows things down. Internet integration with your web store, with for your customers to have self-service, for your vendors to be able to send invoices and integrate directly in. I mean, we talked about that last week. The traditional way is you receive a paper invoice, it gets circulated and gets approved, and then somebody has to data enter it in. So to eliminate that whole process, your vendor could just immediately send your invoice electronically into your ERP system, and that helps the vendor and it helps you. So using those type of services, banking services, and handheld devices, lots of different ways to capture data today to eliminate duplicate processing. Using exception processing, which is in these systems, systems today have, they're all geared to do exception processing, so you get notifications when there's problems. So doing that instead of having reports that you're constantly poring over trying to find the exceptions. Using transactions that are pushed to you, so instead of a person having to take an action to go in and look at a report that tells you everything that you need to purchase, let the system tell you when it's time to purchase certain things based on minimum order quantities, based on demand that you put in. So you want to use all, make sure that the system is configured with all, using all of that functionality so that the system can push to you what it needs as opposed to you having to go in the system and pull it out. Saves time. Automating tasks in the system such as assigning GL codes, assigning pricing, determining what vendors you have bought from. These systems now are designed so that they can make these types of smart decisions based on what you've done in the past and based on parameters that you've given it and configured it. So that should be the key. It's sort of like in airplanes today. Pilots don't fly airplanes today. Computers do. And it's based on the pilot putting in the route, where they're starting from, where they're going, and then the computer being able to take information in from outside systems like weather and radar and everything, and then letting the pilot know, hey, we've got a storm coming up ahead, you know, we need to fly around that. And then the pilot puts in new parameters to fly around it in the computer. Computers fly airplanes today, and we're very safe with that. Let your computer run your organization today as much as it possibly can with your ERP system. And as much as possible, eliminate paper shuffling and manual processes. So in order to get the most out of your ERP system, you want to go into it and design your business process, or if you're using an ERP system today that you don't think you're getting as much from, go back and look at all your processes. See if there's new functionality within your ERP system. Because the other thing that I see happens is companies buy ERP systems, implement them. They may not have certain functionality at the time that they buy them. They keep them upgraded, but they never go back and use the new functionality that's in there. They don't redesign the business process. So that gets back to the incremental change we talked about in the beginning. And finally, I think one of the most important things is use the system throughout the enterprise. It is called an enterprise resource planning system. Everybody in the enterprise should be using the system to get information, to collect information, to do their job. We're no longer in a situation where the only people that use computers are information workers. Information workers do use them, but everybody out on the floor, in the warehouse, on the manufacturing floor, service technicians, construction workers, everybody should be using the computer system and using it to figure out what they need to do next, get information from it, and collect information into it. So, in closing, your ERP system is not an accounting system just for the finance department. It is an enterprise-wide system for the entire enterprise. So thanks very much for your time today. I'm going to open up the lines to see if anybody has any questions. If you have a question, just press *6 to unmute yourself, and I'll take questions. Okay, it doesn't sound like we have any questions today. So for all of those of you that signed up, you'll automatically receive an email notification for the next teleseminar, which will be July 16th. Please pass on these invitations to your friends and colleagues for them to sign up. Anyone that's interested in a review of your systems and processes, please contact me and we can discuss an assessment. You can email me at Linda, L-Y-N-D-A, dot Roth, R-O-T-H, at ljrconsultingservices.com, or you can call me at my office, 818-709-6583. I'll be seeing you next time on our next teleseminar, which will be July 16th. Have a great holiday, everybody. Thanks very much.